So we're just glad that you could be here. We're going to take a little break from the book of Revelation this week. As Cheryl said, we're going to have a baby dedication. And there are a couple of times a year where we do dedications, baby dedications, but I like to at least take one time a year and teach on this. And so we're going to do that this morning. You might think that since we are doing a baby dedication that I'm only going to be talking specifically to those parents, but that is not the truth. I mean, the case is when we talk about dedication, we're talking to all of us. So a baby dedication is about giving our children back to the Lord. Now, they don't come with a return policy. That's not. I know some of you have asked about that in the past. We don't have a rebate slip or anything that you get to fill out. But it's about dedicating our children to the Lord. We need to understand that as much as we care about our kids, the Creator of the universe cares about them so much more, right? I mean, God puts that heart within us. And I know that many of us have, over the years, dedicated our children to the Lord at some point in the past. But here's the deal that I want to bring across this morning is that sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we've done that. We need to remind ourselves that these children that God has given us for a season, He has intended to grow those children up and that they will actually be peers at some point along the way. I feel incredibly blessed to have children that I can now look at and speak adult to adult with, that they speak into my life and I get to speak into their life. Have we released ownership of our children to God? Understanding that God is responsible for the way that they were created. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully created. We're knit together in our mother's womb, that we're actually hardwired by the Creator of the universe. God has hardwired your children. He's created them to be who they are. Now, do we have influence on them? Absolutely. Do their friends have influence? Absolutely. But the God of the universe, I believe, has more. He cares so much that not only does He influence them, but He's given us an owner's manual, right? Actually, it's kind of like an operations guide. If you don't believe me, read through the book of Proverbs. You'll see on a regular basis, God instructs us how to care for our children. Raise up a child in the way he should go, the Bible says. And when he is older, he will what? He'll not depart from that. Does that mean that they might not take a detour for a while? I believe that happens. But I believe as we build into our children, as we build into our grandchildren, that God brings that back over and over and over again. Now, what I've noticed as a married man, we have four children ourselves, we have four grandchildren, that there's some excitement that happens in the family when a grandbaby comes along. When there's a new baby, There's things that happen, man. There's bedrooms are getting changed around, and all of a sudden we've got stacks of diapers, and we got bottles, we got things happening on the counter that you'd never believe were ever going to happen on the counter. I mean, there's stuff that's going on all around us, right? There's excitement that goes on. And there's no greater moment than when we recognize that child is a gift from the Lord. It's in these moments that pastors have the privilege of sharing how parents express their appreciation to God through baby dedication. To me, there's a lot of things that I like doing as a pastor. Dedicating babies is one of the best because I'm seeing parents recognize the sovereignty of God, right? You're saying, God, I trust you with this child that you've given to me. Dedicating a child acknowledges God's sovereignty. Here's the deal. It's not just over the child, but it's recognizing God's sovereignty over mom and dad as well. We're going to do a baby dedication this morning, and she had nothing to do with it, right? The baby Luella, she can't even walk up here by herself. She can't even roll up here by herself. As a matter of fact, every time I look at her, she cries. I'm not really sure what that's about. But her mom and dad have said, we recognize God's sovereignty in our life, and we recognize that He has given us this gift, And now we want to steward this gift the best way that we possibly can. And the best way for us to do that is to dedicate her back to the Lord. Parents, present their child before God, asking for his grace and his wisdom to carry out their responsibilities. Parents also come asking that their child might one day accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Right? Casey and Tori know that if they truly want Luella to one day love and follow Christ, that they've got to be the example. And this is really for all of us. The scriptural picture of dedication is, well, it's about setting your child apart. And that boils down to the parents living life differently than everyone around them. And it's not just about getting them to Sunday school, right? You remember the time, I don't know if you all remember this. There was a day, maybe it still happens, I don't know. There was a day when moms and dads used to get up on a Sunday morning, get their kids going, come on, get ready, get dressed, we gotta get you driven over to church so we can drop you off so we can go and have coffee. Right? People did that. I don't know if you still do it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But you all belong in church. What are we doing? You can come sit back over here if you want to, Grace. It's up to you. I know Bryce won't bite you, though. I'm not so sure about Ray. It's not about a Sunday school program. Look, Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. This is a command for parents. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So he's speaking to the nation of Israel, and he says to them, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. What does that leave us with? That is our complete being, right? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with everything, Israel, with everything that's within you. I could say, church, with everything that's within you, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you this day, the Lord says, are to be put upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. 24/7, 365, talk about the Lord your God and how he's working in your hearts and in your lives and how he's changing things. As a pastor, one of the privileges that I've had is to have a meal with my family every night. We tried this when I was a young pastor. We had a younger family. Every night we tried to have meal time, and when we did, we got to talk about some of the struggles that people in church were facing. Now, my kids never got the names, but they understood, hey, there's trouble going on in people's lives, and here's an answer. There's trouble going on here, and here's an answer. They've got troubles with their kids. Here's an answer. Here's how we deal with this. We need to talk about that stuff. So many times in families, we want to hide stuff. God says, don't hide it. Talk about it. Get it out there. Deal with it. You got hurts. You got problems. You got things in your life. Deal with them. Deuteronomy makes it very clear that the duty of teaching children belongs to the parents. Casey? Your job, man. You got a whole new job about 4 months ago, right? And a whole new job description. Everything from our attitude to our lifestyle. And I really believe it's a parent's opportunity to seize the moment, every moment that they get. I've told you this story before. My son Caleb, as he's getting ready to graduate from high school, is laying on the couch one night. We're watching a show on some guy's building a $3 million wing on his cabin. Caleb looks at me and he's like, you know, if you did that, Dad, I'd never leave. I'm thinking, that's why we don't have a cabin. My wog was going one way. I turn around and I'm coming back. And he looks at me and he says, I suppose I really should ask, you know, like, can I hang out here after I graduate? I'm like, yeah, but not with your backside on that couch. You can't. You gotta get a job. You're working. Yeah, you can stay as long as you want to. As long as you're working. But there's some rules. There's some parameters. There's some guidelines. As parents, it's our job to teach our kids. Who else is gonna? Everybody, right? Everybody. Every one of their friends will want to speak into their life. Their friends' parents will want to speak into their life. The world will want to speak into their life. The devil himself will want to speak into their life, right? So this is okay. You can get by. You didn't get caught. It's our job as parents to catch them sometimes, right? Listen, I prayed for my kids to fail all the time. Pastor, you did what? I prayed for them to fail all the time. God, if they'll fail when they're young and we can get a learning out of it, maybe they won't fail when they're older. Would you do that, Pastor? I did it. God, I hope they fail at that. I hope that goes terrible for them. They shouldn't be doing that. I hope that fails for them. It gives us the opportunity. Seize that opportunity. I believe, you could ask them afterwards, but I believe I also spoke life. We spoke life into their situation. But it's our job, parents, to correct and to discipline. It's our job to speak life. Listen, Proverbs 17, chapter 6, verse 6 says, children's children are a crown to the aged, and the parents are the pride of their children. We should have families that just bring us great joy when we get around. You know how many times I deal with families who, I haven't spoken to that brother in 14 years. I haven't spoken to my kid. I haven't spoken to my kid. I haven't even, I know I've got 3 or 4 grandkids, maybe 5. I don't know. It just rips my heart out. And if you're in that situation, my job is not to condemn you. My job is to breathe life. My job is to bring hope. God wants to restore those relationships. I hope you get that. We need to speak life into those situations. Children are a gift from God. Psalms 127:3 proclaims, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. As believers, we're called to recognize first and foremost that God is the one who gives us the gift of children. It's not just about Casey and Tori this morning. God in his goodness gives children to all of us as gifts. And in that, we have an awesome responsibility of caring for God's gift. God's given us that gift. You say, well, Pastor, I blew it. I rolled into this whole Christianity thing a little late. I let me tell you, as a pastor, one of the themes I hear the most at my desk is people saying, I would have poured this into my kids when I was younger. I wish I had taken my kids to a Bible-believing church. I wish I had done this. I wish I didn't know church could be this way. I didn't know we could have this relationship. I didn't know what the Bible said. Don't walk out of here today with that kind of a void, leaving that kind of void. You can make a change right here, right now, today. God's word is available to us, and it speaks to us at every age, at every level. Don't be that person who speaks to a pastor 10 years from now and says, I wish I had. And if you're a grandparent, you say, you know what, I've never done it. Begin now. Turn the ship now. Make a change now, today. You say, well, I've got a broken relationship. Send a card. Send a letter. If that won't be received, begin to pray. Let me tell you something here. I believe with all of my heart that God is at work behind the scenes when we don't see it. That's what faith is, right? Hang on. I mean it. I mean, I've had parents come to me and say, well, my son's doing this, my son's doing that. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm like, are you praying? Well, yeah, but they're not. Do you believe that there's still a God in the universe that cares? Well, yeah, then how about hang on to that? But I don't see anything. That's called faith. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not yet seen. There's a scene in one of the Indiana Jones movies. Now I realize I'm dating myself. Some of you are going to say, Indiana, what? Okay, but he's told to step out into midair at one point, and he's taking the step, and there's this huge cavern, and it looks like he's going to fall to his death, and then the camera switches angles. And you can see that he's stepping out onto a rock bridge that's there. But if you're looking straight at it, you can't see it. Guess what, folks? That's what faith is about. God's the one who builds the bridge. We just continue to walk in it. You continue to pray. I'll tell you what, for my own children, as we've gone through life in different phases, the kids have been out of the area at different times. My daughter, one daughter and the grandkids just moved out of the area. I pray that God brings believers into their path on a regular basis. God, I can't be there, but you can be there. You can send somebody there to speak life, somebody to speak hope, somebody to breathe joy, somebody to breathe peace. We have that. I don't believe it's just an opportunity as a parent. I believe that's an obligation that we have. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to be praying that stuff for our children on a regular basis because God loves them even more than you do. And he would have us cry out for them. He would have us pray for them. Right? Our children belong to the Lord, and he has given them to us by grace as parents, and it is appropriate and it's right that children be dedicated back to God. We're told in 1 Samuel about a woman by the name of Hannah, and she presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, she says, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 22, we read Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him to the Lord. I'm always in awe of Hannah. I shared this with Tori and Casey this week. I'm in awe. She prayed. She was before the priest at one point, pouring out her heart. She's in the temple, and the priest oversaw her, and she's pouring, and her lips are moving, but there's no words coming out. She's just grieving. God, I really want a baby. I need a baby. My enemies, they harass me about it. They're all over me, and I just need this baby. She's crying out with all of her heart. Her lips are moving, but there are no words. She gets accused of being drunk. How many promises do you think she made to the Lord? Well, one was, if you give me this baby, he will serve in the temple every day of his life. And guess what? When he was born, she didn't take that back. Now, they're not leaving the baby here when they're done today. Just, we've already made that clear. Sheila told me she'd fight me for it anyhow. But she didn't back down with the promises that she made. Moms and dads, you make commitments. You make commitments to your children. You make commitments to God. I promise, be careful. Be careful. You shouldn't back away from those things either. If you've promised to dedicate your child to the Lord, you've promised to live a life that's worthy of that baby, worthy of God giving you a child, then you need to get your life in a position that's worthy of caring for that child. Right? I'm in awe that Hannah did not back down. She didn't change. The same way today, Casey and Tori have chosen to bring Luella and to dedicate her to the Lord. They've chosen to not back down. We've had this conversation. The act of dedicating this child doesn't mean that they're gonna get her to Sunday school first or get her to children's church. It means they're going to walk before the Lord in their own household in ways of righteousness. They're going to try to be upright believers. They're going to walk out God's path in their own home. That's what they need to do. This is a conversation we've had because here's the deal. This act of dedicating a baby does not make Luella a Christian. It doesn't make her a Christ follower. It doesn't buy her any place in heaven. Just like each one of us, Luella will have to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ on her own behalf. When she is of an age where she can understand what Jesus did for her, then she gets to make that decision, that choice herself. But today, Mom and Dad are saying that we're going to make a declaration and that we're going to recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our household. God's given us a gift, and we're going to dedicate this gift back to him. As I said, this is a reminder for all of us. I've said this 100 times before. Nobody ever told me when I was a young man that when you have a child, Mom and Dad, you have a baby, you're a dad. I'm a dad forever. My wife is a mom forever. That doesn't change. Well, I hurt when my kids hurt. I rejoice when they rejoice. I always thought this, you know, as a young man, I thought this was like 18 years and I'm off the hook. Not the way it is. We make choices, and we need to make choices to point our children to Christ. I can't live their life for them. I can't make choices for them. But I can still point them in the right direction. If you missed Cleo Smith's funeral the other day, that entire point of her of that funeral was, whether it was in church, whether it was a neighbor, whether it was a friend, whether it was a family member, whether it was somebody struggling with drugs or alcohol, she did the same thing all the time. She pointed them towards Christ, pointed them towards Christ, pointed them towards Christ. And the church was full, and we were setting up chairs. And I asked people, I got up as we before the service, I asked people, scoot together. We don't have quite enough room. Scoot together. Why? Was she that special? She pointed people to Christ all the time. Yeah, that was special. We have that same opportunity. Point your kids towards Christ. At this point, I'm going to ask Casey and Tori to come up with Luella. She's sleeping. She won't cry at me now. So our purpose today here is to dedicate this child to the Lord, but as I've said, we're also dedicating Casey and Tori and their family to the Lord. It's not just about her, but it's about your influence on her. So you get to listen in, but I need to talk to these two for just a minute. I just want to remind you, again, this ceremony does nothing to confer salvation on her. That is a choice that she needs to make. I believe that God has placed this in your heart to do this, but this is about you two making a decision to say, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to turn to Him. This is about Him, and she's going to come up in that nurture and that admonition, and that comes from Him. The word dedicate literally means to set aside for God's purpose. That's what it literally means. And so that's what we're saying is we're going to set her aside for God's purpose. And that's what your family will be a reflection of. So you're going to look different than some of the people in the neighborhood. She's going to be different than some of the other kids in the neighborhood. You're going to have different rules. Matter of fact, the neighbor kids might not like it. Sometimes they're like, oh, don't let them talk to your parents. Don't let Casey talk to your mom and dad. They're going to change things. But you be different. You be a light in the community. You be that. Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain you rise up early and you stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For He grants sleep to those He loves. Sons and daughters are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend against their enemies at the gate. Again, this passage refers to children as a reward, and the psalmist is saying, at some point, we pray that you got so many children in your quiver that your quiver is full. And so we want to pray God's blessing over you and over her. Folks, if you're here, I believe that you can reach your hand out and extend blessing. And so we're going to pray God's blessing over this family. God, I just thank you so much for Tori and for Casey and for Luella. And we just, God, we dedicate her to you today. We believe, Father, that you have a special call on her life. We believe that she has a special purpose in the kingdom. And we put her in your arms. We believe in your sovereignty, God. We believe that you, it's hard to believe, but we believe that you care for her and love her even more than Tori and Casey can even imagine. And God, I pray for them that you would rule in their household. God, that Casey would honor and love his wife, and that Tori would honor and love her husband, and that this little girl would see that mom and dad really, truly care about each other. First and foremost, that they care about you, God, and that you're number one in this house. I pray that you work a mighty, mighty miracle in their home, Father. You just draw them together. Bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name, we just set this family apart for your honor and for your glory. We dedicate this child to your service today. We pray a hedge of protection around her. We pray, Father, that you would move in her life. We pray again that you would be around her, that her life would be a reflection of you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys. Love you. Don't want to squeeze a baby. Bless you, man. Good job. Good job. Since we're here and we're talking about commitment, we've only got a few minutes. The greatest help that I believe Luella can have in life is a mom and dad who love Jesus, grandma and grandpas who love Jesus. Maybe it's time for us to look at our own commitments to the Lord. It's pretty easy for us to sit back and say, yeah, that makes sense. Luella can't make a decision for herself. She needs somebody to. Pretty easy for us to sit back and go, yeah, Tori and Casey, they gotta get their act together. Yep, they gotta do that. Yep, they should definitely have a godly home. My question is for the rest of us. Where are we at? Does our house reflect Christ? When people see our family, do they go, you know, they're just a little bit different? They do things different than the rest of the world. We find ourselves challenged over the years in our relationships. We'll find ourselves challenged with our children. We'll find ourselves challenged with our spouses. We might find ourselves challenged with jobs. You might even find yourself challenged with relationships in the church. Surprise. What do we do about it? What do we do about it? Do we give up? Do we throw in the towel? Do we say, I've had enough, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done? Or do we turn to the Lord? Do we continue to turn back to God? Passages of Scripture like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. I know God has a plan for my life since the very foundation of time. But we need to recognize that we also have an enemy who roams around like a roaring lion trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have an enemy. 2 Timothy, we could read through 2 Timothy again, talking about the wickedness of the days that are around us. But what are we going to do? How are we going to live out our lives? Are we going to live out our lives in such a way that says, I have to respond to what the enemy is doing around us, or are we going to respond to who Christ is and what he has called us to do? Are we going to walk that kind of a life? We are in a battle. If you're part of this church, you know it. I say it on a regular basis. There is a battle for your family. There is a battle for your mind. There is a battle for your heart. I believe that there is a spiritual battle going on for your very spirit and soul. It might be time for us to remind ourselves that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Maybe it's time we remind ourselves that God knit me together in my mother's womb. God placed a purpose in me. He's redeemed my life for a purpose and for a reason. He hasn't just redeemed you to sit in church, right? 1 hour a week. And if the pastor's long, 1 hour and 15 minutes. If I come in, I might come on a Wednesday. Man, I might have 2.5 hours in. I'm better than my neighbor. No, God has redeemed us for more than that. Right? He's redeemed us for a life. Listen, Psalm 57:8 and Psalm 108:5. I don't have them, but David actually talks to himself and he says, rise up, O my soul. Have you ever just felt overwhelmed and you're like, you know what? Forget it today. I'm just not getting out of bed. Forget it. Today I'm just done. Forget it today. David's got his enemies all around him and he's talking to himself. And he says, rise up, O my soul, and praise the Lord. Worship God. I don't care what kind of junk. He's having this conversation with himself. He's got a mirror on the wall. And he's like, look, I don't care that you don't want to get out of bed. Get out of bed. I don't care that your teeth aren't. Get up, brush your teeth. He did it, Read them. Read the Psalms. He spoke to himself. He told himself, get up, rise up and worship the Lord. So many times, folks, we just get pushed around and pushed around and pushed around by life and by situations. We're done. We're ready to throw in the towel. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan and into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I want to hit this for just 1 second. For just a couple minutes. Sometimes we get stuck in this thing where, like, my dad has died. How can I ever go on? My mom has died. How can I ever go on? You don't know what kind of an influence this person has had on me. How can I ever go on? Cleo Smith gave her life to Celebrate Recovery for 25 years. How could we ever go on with Celebrate Recovery? God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get up. Keep going. Finish the challenge. Don't stop now. Finish the goal. God says, my servant Moses is dead. Then he says in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Don't stop Celebrate Recovery. Don't stop ministering to your family. Don't stop working, giving into your workplace. Don't stop giving into those places just because you've got some difficulty in your life. Just the opposite. Rise up, oh my soul. Get up. Keep going. Timothy, get up, get up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, do whatever you got to do, get up, don't lay down on the job, get up. God says to Joshua, get up, your territory will extend from the deserts of Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can grab a hold of that. You can put your name there. God will never leave you nor forsake you. In Matthew, he says, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Get up! Most of you know during COVID, it was a very difficult time, and at one point, I think I did 9 funerals in 11 weeks. 3 of them were pastors. One of them was my senior pastor for 30 years. 62 years old. He's up at a cabin and he had a massive heart attack and died. And I had the privilege of doing his funeral, but I got to tell you, everything within me wanted to say, I can't do it. This guy was a friend. He was a mentor. He still spoke into my life. God said to Joshua, I know you've lost your friend. I know you've lost your mentor. But I will not leave you even to the end of the age. I got a purpose for you. Be strong and be courageous. Because you lead these people to inherit the land I swore before, the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the things, all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, and you will be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always in front of your lips. Meditate on it day and night so you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. 3 times, 4 times, he says, be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be very courageous. Be strong and be courageous. I don't care what the world looks like around us. As we dedicate our life to Christ, Christ would say, be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. I don't know what your job situation looks like. I don't know what your family situation looks like. Be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. Church, don't stop being strong and being courageous. Amen? Amen. It's like, you don't know what my job's like. You know, I don't care what your job is like. Be strong and be courageous. Step up. Step up. Don't let the world push you down. Make a concerted effort. That word dedication, to set aside for God's purposes, set aside for his holy purpose. You realize God has placed you in the job that he's placed you so you can reflect him, so people can see Christ in you. That's why you're there. You go, you don't know my job. I don't care about your job. I know what God has done. He's placed light in you. You are light. You are hope. You bring peace to the... I don't know the words, but we sang the song. Great are you, Lord. Do we believe that? Because if you don't believe that, you're going to be pushed around by every wind of doctrine. Everything in your life is going to change. There's going to be situations. Listen to what Joshua says in Joshua 24:14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your... He's talking to the people. He said, fear the Lord. Joshua finally said, okay, I'm jumping on the bandwagon, God. I'm in. I'm all in. And then he tells the people, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your gods that your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable, listen. He's giving people an option. He said, here's the deal. I want you to grow up. I want you to throw away all those past idols. And then he says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable, then choose for yourself this day who you're going to serve. That's a big deal, Dave. He's telling him, sir, step up. Do it. Pick who you're going to serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods of your ancestors that they served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites whose land you're living in. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Let me show you what that looks like. But my dad was an alcoholic, and so I'm an alcoholic. If that's the God you want to serve, then choose today. But my mom always gambled, and so, you know, I've got this gambling thing. If that's the God you want to serve, then choose today. Well, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that redemption, we can make a change. Because of that redemption, our life does not have to look the way our parents' lives looked. Our lives don't even have to look the way our lives looked. I used to smoke just a little too much pot before school. I used to drink just a little bit too much. I used to, 3 packs of cigarettes was maybe just a little bit more than I should have been smoking, right? But God delivered me from that. He set me free. And he said, today, Tim, choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve that crowd? Are you going to serve that drugs? Are you going to let that push you around? Or are you going to serve me? And if you're going to serve me, then don't let the book of the law depart. Get my word in you so you know what you're supposed to do. Set your life apart. You can be different. You can be a changed person. You don't have to be the same person that you used to be. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know, this is God speaking, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call on me and I will come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me. You'll seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where you have been banished, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. He's speaking to the nation of Israel, but he's speaking to us. He said, if you dedicate your life to me, and if you choose to lay that stuff aside, we're talking about a family being dedicated today, but I'm talking about us being dedicated today. Where's our dedication meter at? Are we willing to say, you know what, God, I am not going down that road. You've given me a different path, and I'm not going down this road anymore. I want to tell you today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, say, you know what, I've heard the whole church thing. I've seen it all. I've kind of been around. Jesus Christ came, and he paid the price in his blood for our redemption, that we could be saved. You say, saved from what? Saved from God's wrath is what we're being saved from. We can be saved. We don't have to go down that old path. It's the simplest thing you'll do, and it's the most difficult thing you'll do. It's the simplest because it's simply turning to him and saying, God, I need help in my life. I need you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Please change me. I repent. I'm sorry. Here's the difficult part. Repentance is Tim skipping through life doing Tim's own thing. You know what? If I want to go out and get high, I go out and get high. If I want to get stoned, I get stoned. If I want to smoke, I smoke. Repentance says, don't do that anymore. Turn around and go the other way. I've changed direction in my life. It's the simplest thing, and it's the most difficult thing. It's so easy to accept Christ. All it costs you is your life. And if anybody tells you any different than that, then they're preaching a different gospel, because it'll cost you your life. But in that, God will walk through life with you every step of the way. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. God, today, we just lay our hearts before you. We've come for a baby dedication, but there's a whole lot more going on here. You want our lives dedicated to you. You want each one of us to walk in that truth. You want each one of us to follow after you. Eternity, heaven is waiting for us. Eternal life is waiting for us. Eternal death is our option. We can choose hell by not accepting you. God, I pray that you would speak to each heart. Speak to each heart here today. God, I pray for those of us who have said we're going to walk after you, God, and then kind of taken our own steps to the left and to the right, and we've kind of backpedaled every now and again. I pray that you'd change the conviction of our heart, and you'd cause us to go full force after you. That when we walked and when we sat and when we lay down, we'd talk about you. We'd think about you. We'd get into your word. We'd cause it to be real in our lives. We'd walk it out. When you say forgive, we say, who? Who do we need to forgive? When your word says repent, we figure out, what is it you're speaking to us that we need to change in our life? God, I pray that we would be very, very serious about dedicating our lives to you. I pray that you'd move in each heart here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to ask Christ into your heart, it's very simple. All you have to do is pray and ask him to come in. He'll come into your life. You can do that any way you want to. Sometimes pastors lead people in prayer. I'm just telling you, if you've made that commitment today, let somebody know. Let me know. Let somebody next to you know that, you know what? I need to make that change in my life. You can come on up and we'll pray with you. Somebody alongside of you will pray with you. God wants to change our hearts today. Amen? God bless you. Have a great day.